Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, I'm watching the White House press briefing. I see the Playboy guy on the side. He's got his hand up. He wants to ask, I'm sure, a very pressing question. Like, what's Joe's favorite color today? They did ask Jen Psaki about Kamala Harris, because if you missed this, I just want to go back here really quick. Kamala was on with Lester Holt. This was after she said yesterday, don't come to the border to illegal aliens, and a huge reversal from her usual, come on down. And it was interesting because Lester Holt asked her point blank, why haven't you been to the border? Pretty easy question. Pretty softball question that she's also been asked a few times. So usually it's not gotcha if you've been asked it four or five times in the past. And yet this is what Kamala came out with. Cut one.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
And I've never been to heaven. Do you know that, Jared? Well, I've never been to Spain, but I kinda like the music. Yeah, so it didn't go over well. I mean, there's even, you know, some left-wing publications are saying, they're kind of scratching their heads. What kind of answer is that? And Jen Psaki, much to her chagrin, was asked about this. I'm guessing it's by Peter Ducey. They have full capacity now at these White House press briefings. There's people everywhere. And only one person asks, I'm not even going to say hard questions, just actual questions that aren't, tell us how bad Orange Man is and how happy Joe is to be president. So let's hear what Peter Ducey asked and what Jen Psaki responded.
I expect that sometime she may go to the border, Peter, but as you know, what her focus has been, what the assignment is specifically, is to work with leaders in the Northern Triangle. She's on a trip doing exactly that, exactly what the president asked her to do.
And as we understand it, though, her main focus is to try to address the root causes of migration. Did somebody decide here that it would not be helpful for her to go to the border and talk to people who just migrated here?
Well, again, I think that at some point she may go to the border. We'll see. But she's in the Northern Triangle now to have discussions with leaders, with community leaders, with civil society leaders.
You know, Peter Ducey, he's getting better and better every day. Because you know what it is? I say this all the time. He's too nice. I have that problem sometimes, too. People might disagree. But sometimes when you just want to be polite and you get uncomfortable, you know, you have to be one of those reporters that doesn't care if everyone hates you when the press briefing's done. But he's getting there. You know, she's talked down to him enough. She's gaslit him enough that he's definitely getting there. I do want to move on for a moment here and talk about a very interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal. But first, Lester. I don't know if this is Lester Holt calling in to give us an update on his interview with Kamala. But Lester, go ahead. What's on your mind?
A quick working definition of the word expert. An ex is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under high pressure. And think about that for all the experts you've just had a cause to think about recently.
That's a very good definition of what we are currently dealing with. We have, you know the expression, too many cooks in the kitchen. We have too many experts in the mainstream media.
Explicative.
Too many experts giving us their expertise. There's an interesting piece, and the reason I'm glad that we did our last segment on issues that really scare you right now in this country, And it's not to fearmonger. I just want to get a sense of what people are actually thinking. And a guy called in and he said, I'm scared for the future. I'm scared for the children of this country, the younger people, because they don't seem to have... They don't seem to have any values that are really going to help us in the future. They're not, their work ethic isn't really there. And I'm, you know, painting with a broad brush, there's definitely exceptions, but they're easily offended. Everyone gets a trophy. And he made a lot of good points. And there's actually a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and it's called Why I Stopped Hiring Ivy League Graduates. Now, I find this interesting. I'm going to read you guys some of it. I'm going to skip around to keep it short for time. But I find this interesting because I have a friend, she's a headhunter, and she worked at this company, big, big company, and they would only hire from like Ivy Leagues, like the top 10 schools in America. And I always thought that was interesting because I think I'm a good employee, and I thought I would never, her company would never even look at me because of where I went to school. Now, this guy, R.R. Reno, he makes the opposite point as to why he doesn't go for these Ivy League graduates. He says, I'm not inclined to hire a graduate from one of America's elite universities. A decade ago, I relished the opportunity to employ talented graduates of Princeton, Yale, Harvard, and the rest. Today, not so much. If students can be traumatized by insensitivity on that leafy campus, then they're unlikely to function as effective team members in an organization that has to deal with everyday realities. And in any event, I don't want to hire someone who makes inflammatory accusations at the drop of a hat. You sound racist, sir. First of all, let's just get that right out of the way. You sound very, very racist. Student activists don't represent the majority of students. They don't. You know, even when I was in school, it guaranteed it was pre-Trump, so everyone hadn't completely lost their minds. But there are a lot of kids who just want to get a degree and party, you know, and God bless those kids. But I find myself wondering about the silent acquiescence of most students. They allow themselves to be cowed by charges of racism and other sins. But I don't want to hire a person well-practiced in remaining silent when it costs something to speak up. There are a lot of people who will tell you that to survive a university, or at least to thrive in one, to get decent grades, to pass with a good GPA, you, if you are conservative, you just have to pretend. You know, you just have to blend in. You just have to nod. You have to regurgitate what they tell you to write, and you'll get an A, and then you move on with your life. But this guy's point, R.R. Reno, is that's not a good habit. You know, learning how to bow to the mob is not a good habit. Normal kids at elite universities keep their heads down. Over the course of 4 years, this can become a subtle but real habit of obedience, a condition of moral and spiritual surrender. Some resist. They would seem ideal for my organization, which aims to speak for religious and social conservatives. I've met recent Ivy grads with conservative convictions who manifest a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, this is kind of interesting because he says that kids who do come out of these universities and have fought for their conservative values, they end up being a little bit too aggressive, you know, because they're so used to people coming at them that they'll jump down your throat. And that's almost as bad as the woke kids. But do these institutions add value? My answer is increasingly negative. Dysfunctional kids are coddled and encouraged to nurture grievances, while normal kids are attacked and educationally abused. Today's elite students aren't going to schools led by courageous adults. Deprived of good role models, they're less likely to mature into good leaders themselves. My rule of thumb is to hire from institutions I advise young people to attend. Hillsdale College is at the top of the list, as are quirky small Catholic colleges such as Thomas Aquinas College, Wyoming Catholic College, and the University of Dallas. In my experience, graduates from these sort of places are well-educated, but more important, they've been supported and encouraged by their institutions, and they haven't been deformed by the toxic political correctness that leaders of elite universities have allowed to become dominant. I'm going to skip down here to the end. A few years ago, a student at an Ivy League school told me, the first things you learn your freshman year is never to say what you are thinking. How sad is that? These used to be the places where you'd go, like these liberal colleges where people would protest and people would debate and people would have all sorts of opinions. He says, the first thing you learn your freshman year is to never say what you are thinking. The institution he attended claims to train the world's future leaders. From what that young man reports, the opposite is true. The school is training future self-censors, which means future followers. I actually was talking to my dad about this, and he said to me, if you guys were reapplying to schools now, if you were college age, I would definitely send you to, and I think he named one of these schools that this guy just said, maybe it was Hillsdale, but these liberal colleges, I mean, why do you want to pay to send your kids somewhere so they can learn to hate you or to hate America or to hate capitalism? I wouldn't spend my money on that. I would more say go into a trade or something. Maybe that's just me. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this. Why I stopped hiring Ivy League graduates. It seems like he's on to something. It definitely seems like he's on to something. Because either way, you're getting someone who kept their mouth shut for 4 years and just was a yes man to all of these crazy liberal professors. Or you're getting a radical social justice warrior who's trying to change the names of birds. So one or the other. I don't know which one's worse. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. Pollen is going to come in, and when it does, well, Jared can tell you the rest.
Oh, you get the scratchy throat, the runny eyes, the stuffed up nose. It's just miserable. This past weekend especially was very miserable, but you can get relief from all that if you have an Eden Pure Thunderstorm, because you just plug it in, you turn it on, and it starts sending out ions. It ionizes the air around you, which creates super oxygen, and that means you are breathing clean, fresh air. It's essential if you have allergies to breathe good quality air, and that is what the Thunderstorm gives you.
Yeah, and it really is that simple. It's just as Jared described. You just plug it in, you turn this on, no air filters are needed, and it starts working in minutes. It's small, but it is powerful, and it's very reasonably priced. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE10, and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. I love free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE10 at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE10. Speaking of wokeness, because this kind of highlights the students, but this is an issue that has really, it's affected all sorts of ages. Do you see Chris Harrison from The Bachelor? He's officially stepping away from the franchise. Because he suggested that the audience, that they give one of the contestants a chance because she made a mistake and went to an antebellum party when she was in college. And he said, you know, maybe show a little forgiveness or show a little grace. I don't even know the exact quote because I don't watch that stuff as much anymore. But he basically was just saying, you know, let's not jump the gun. Let's give this girl a chance. Let's be a little bit kind to people. He's officially stepping away from the Bachelor franchise. And guess what? I don't think he's blameless in this. I don't think he should be blamed for what he said, but he totally caved. He said he would step away. He said, you know, he didn't have an issue with it. He didn't say, listen, this is wrong. You guys are painting me in the worst light. I didn't do anything wrong. He just bowed to the mob. And now he's stepping away. And I don't feel bad for him because he's a grown adult. If he feels that pressure and he steps away, is there any hope for these young kids? Probably not. And meanwhile, the psychiatrist in New York City can say that she fantasizes about unloading a revolver into a white person, and there's not as much backlash as there was for Chris Harrison, the plain, boring host of The Bachelor. Do you see my point here? 844-500-4242. We will be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Antony Blinken is having to answer some questions about the origins of the COVID virus, which, if you guys didn't get the memo, the left doesn't really care about anymore. It was a big deal when it was happening under Trump, but now that we're drilling down on it, they're not big fans of drilling. They're saying, well, does it really matter? I mean, at this point, What difference does it make? And some people like Rand Paul and Jim Jordan and other politicians are saying, no, we would like to get to the bottom of this. You know, we spent a lot of money trying to get to the bottom of the Russia hoax and trying to connect the dots from Trump to Putin. And, you know, we had two impeachments over nothing. Maybe this is something that we could actually look into. This is something worth investigating. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. This is my favorite soap. I love this product. I use it every single day, and I highly recommend it to my listeners. You just buy one, and then you'll come back and say, oh, I get it, Grace. I'm a fan now. I think if you buy one of these soaps, you'll be in for life. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. I have very sensitive skin, and especially when I get out of the shower and I use a soap that's kind of harsh, I end up getting really itchy, kind of like eczema. But if you use a soap that is natural, like these, you feel great after. You just feel clean. You don't feel sticky or uncomfortable. You don't feel like you have a film on you. Love your soap. Love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's a Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's Kamala's most cringeworthy laugh? Laughing about parents not being able to send kids to school, cackling when asked if she plans to visit the border, chuckling when asked if she's a socialist, or LOLing at Lester Holt.
I'm going to say laughing at parents at the fact that they couldn't send their kids to school for a year. Because nothing's funnier than ruining people's lives.
Yeah. Laughing at parents is 29%, second place. In first place, cackling when asked if she plans to visit the border at 49%.
Well, the strange thing about Kamala is I don't really understand. I can't decide what's worse. When she's laughing at something very serious, like when someone says, you know, are you going to go to the border? And she bursts out laughing. Or when she actually tries to be funny and it just doesn't land. This is a nice little flashback. This is a joke that I'm guessing someone wrote for her, which is even scarier to think that this is the level of jokes coming from speechwriters. This is at a graduation, cut four.
And just ask any Marine today, would she rather carry 20 pounds of batteries or a rolled up solar panel? And I am positive she will tell you a solar panel, and so would he.
Whew. Thank God she is herself laughing, because she is the only one. One is the loneliest number. Yikes. And yesterday she was very, very clear with illegal immigrants. She said, do not come to the border. Let's play the beginning of that, and then I want to play for people Ted Cruz's reaction, because he was dead on. First, cut two, please.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border.
All right, now let's play Ted Cruz. This is cut 10, please.
Well, I got to say, that video of her saying, do not come, it seemed a little bit like a hostage video. She was reading the words. But everything she has said, everything Joe Biden has said, and more importantly, everything Joe and Kamala have done, have sent exactly the opposite message.
Yeah, you can't invite people and then disinvite them. Once the invitation's out there, you're in. You're hosting the party. I mean, they've been inviting them for years now, because they started campaigning years ago, and both Joe and Kamala ran on open borders. And now the people are taking them up on said open borders. They're suddenly going, you know what, guys? It's looking a little tight. Party's canceled. We'll catch you another time if you could just not come. These people who are crossing are like, no, sorry. We got the invite in the mail, and we took you up on it. We made the trek. We're coming. And he's absolutely, Ted Cruz is dead on with that. It does seem like a hostage video, which I've said it before, but the internal polling must be real. It must be poop for them.
Oh, yeah.
For them to be changing it up this quickly. And when you think about all the reversals lately with the Democrats, this is only one of them. You got Fauci, you got Kamala. It's crazy how much they're U-turning on all of these things they once held so dear. We will be back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Just a few quick updates here from the New York Times. Adults will be able to claim a free marijuana joint when they receive a COVID-19 vaccine in Washington State. The promotion called Joints for Jabs is part of the state's push to increase vaccinations. I'm down with this. I mean, whatever at this point. Like, compared to everything else happening in the world.
We can go to the park after dark, smoke that tumbleweed. As the marijuana burn, we can take our turn singing them dirty rap songs. Stop and hit the ball like Cheech and Chong and sell tapes from here to Hong Kong.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is, wow, how they have raised the stakes as far as, or maybe the incentives is the right word, to get this vaccine. It started off with, you can get it for free, which is all Howie needed. He jumped on that one. He went way too soon. He should have waited for at least the free donut. That was the next thing. And then after the free donut, there was the free Shake Shack fries. And then after the free Shake Shack fries, they took it up even one more notch and said free beer in some places. Then there was lottery tickets. And just when you think it can't get any better, free joints. You really, really, you can make a killing off of getting this vaccine. And to think the people in the beginning were like trying to get on lists and pay for it. And now you get one and you get all these goodies. It's like getting a goodie bag at a party. What more can you ask for? So that story is definitely going to have some people upset. We shall wait. We'll keep you posted. And also, if you missed this yesterday at Fenway, someone unrolled a Trump 1 banner. And shockingly, I was surprised by this, got a lot of applause. I mean, got a real nice round of applause from people. I didn't think there'd be any Trump fans who are still going to these baseball games, but hey, I'm pleasantly surprised. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All right, Jared Diglio is my producer, and he's going to tell us what's on his mind. Give us the rundown, Jared. What's going on?
All right. Well, as always, we lead off with some great audio, and this actually came to us from the North American Building Trades Union, and they put out, you know, Joe Biden was always talking about Build Back Better. Well, they put out a little video in that spirit, and this is what it sounded like.
So, what the hell's been going on in Washington since this new guy took over? We know President Biden's been busy putting Rona on her ropes. You think he had time for other things?
Yeah, so very funny. I thought it was ironic, but actually it turns out that it wasn't. You mentioned this earlier. So Emmanuel Macron was just, you know, he was kind of making the rounds. He was visiting people, you know, man of the people, talking around. And
he thought he had a fan in the audience. That was his problem. He saw this guy who looked enthusiastic to see him, and he thought, oh my gosh. You know, it's like Bill de Blasio. If he sees a fan, it's like, ooh, I got one. So he ran over, and then it backfired.
Yeah, he ran over, and so this guy kind of grabbed his arm, and they started shaking hands, and the guy just leans back and slaps him. Like, slaps him right in the face, like 1940s smack. Yeah, right across the face.
But Jared, and I don't condone violence of any kind, but I thought it was kind of a little bit of a floppy, like a fish slap.
Well, he's French.
It wasn't a, you know, dynasty 1980s soap opera real slap.
No,
he kind of just was fumbling around.
Yeah.
And then he got taken down by the Secret Service or whatever they're called in France.
The service secret.
Secret service.
Yeah, so people are in custody. But listen, as much as we don't like politicians, we obviously shouldn't go around slapping them.
No. We do not condone that at all. And it just makes you look like a crazy person, which obviously that guy is.
All right. So Rebecca Jones, you remember her. She was the insurrection
scientist. She was the woman who was going to take down Governor Ron DeSantis because she discovered that he was fudging the numbers, and she was the whistleblower that was going to blow the whole operation and show everyone how Florida is the worst place in the world. Only problem was that she was lying.
Yes, and she has been banned from Twitter. But she is still on Instagram, and so she took to Instagram with her username Insubordinate Scientist and let everybody know this.
One of the reasons I held off on making any final decisions about running for office was because I hoped the criminal justice system would remove Matt Gaetz from Congress on its own.
Oh, God.
That is taking a very long time, and none of it is certain, especially because the rich and powerful play by their own rules. They don't play by the same rules as everybody else.
Did she say she was going to run for office?
Yes.
Who's her running partner, Michael Avenatti?
Rebecca Jones is running against Matt Gaetz. She's going to save...
Julie Swetnick?
She's going to save Florida somehow, some way. It will happen.
Oh, my gosh. With people with enemies like this, I mean, oh my gosh. This woman, and the hilarious part is if you actually go to one of the pieces that breaks down, I mean, there's a lot of really good ones that break down why this woman is such a fraud. She had so many issues, and they kept giving her, you know, chance after chance to keep her job, and she ended up just really, really lying and destroying her credibility, which was already thin to begin with. And of course, people like Chris Cuomo and CNN ran with it. I mean, why not? They need a hero. They're holding out for a hero to the end of the night, even if that hero is a crazy woman like Rebecca Jones.
Yeah, but it fits the narrative, so why bother backing off from it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, legally, I don't know. But Ron DeSantis, it's just so funny to me how they keep, you know, bending their logic into pretzels trying to get this guy. And every attempt is weaker and weaker. And it just shows how desperate they are. I mean, they wanted Ron DeSantis to be Andrew Cuomo. And they have Andrew Cuomo, and they don't want to go near that. I understand why they don't want to go near him physically, but they don't even go near the story itself.
All right, so stop me if you've heard this one before. Alameda County in California, health officials reviewed COVID-19 death records and found 411 cases that were clearly not, quote-unquote, caused by the disease. In fact, that's a 25% decrease in COVID cause of death cases in Alameda County.
So this is one of those cases where they were all, they were written as COVID, but they weren't COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, there's going to be.
There's going to be a lot of that now.
Yeah, without a doubt. Dr. Fauci will weigh in shortly, I'm sure.
Oh, well, Dr. Fauci, actually, this takes me to my next topic. Dr. Fauci and the president have weighed in today about the Delta strain. And the Delta strain apparently is a new COVID strain that was in India and is now apparently working its way through the UK. So that's the next thing that's coming. You know how there are all these different various strains, you know, and you never want to downplay the virus, obviously, but the Delta strain is the new thing that you're going to hear about. That's going to be the new scary.
Yeah, but is anyone listening to Dr. Fauci anymore? I mean,
nope.
I really don't think anyone is. So good luck with the panic porn. But I'm not saying it's not real, but at a certain point, we all have to move on and take risks. And we have a vaccine. It seems to be doing its job thus far. It's time to move on and put Fauci in the past. His political career is over.
Just put him in a tiny, 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 tiny box in the back of your mind.
Yes.
Right. We talked about this yesterday. Joe Manchin says he will not vote to advance H.R. 1, the Democrats stealing every election forever bill. I'm sorry, the For the People Act, as they call it. And a lot of people were upset with Joe Manchin about this. You know, the TV pundits were all upset. CNN, their heads almost exploded. But somebody else who was very upset by this was Cher.
Cher?
Cher. Did you see this?
I did not see this.
Right.
I actually usually keep abreast of a lot of things to do with Cher.
So Joe Manchin is the focus, but Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona are the two sort of moderate can flip.
The two traitors.
The two
okay?
traitors. Yes.
Let's be very clear here.
Friends of Joe Biden, but traitors one and all. Well, Cher decided she was going to let Joe Manchin and Kirsten Gillibrand know that they aren't Democrats. They are traitors.
Oh, no. She messed up her Kirstens.
Yes.
I always say this. Kirsten. It's too complicated. And I know Kristens, and I know Kirstens, and I know Kirstens, and I know Christines, but Lord, it gets complicated, even for Cher, even for the brilliant woman that is Cher.
So Cher's tweet, Joe Manchin and Kirsten Gillibrand aren't Democrats, they're traitors. If there is any way, the number four, New Yorkers to kick her out of the Senate, they must. Try before she hands our country to Trump and his criminals. These fake Democrats are single-handedly sabotaging President Biden's plans to help American people.
And then she said, do you believe in love after love?
Well, after she noticed, and everybody noticed, she offered her deepest apologies, quote-unquote, to Kirsten Gillibrand for messing that up.
I'm sure Kirsten Gillibrand didn't mind. It got her back in the, in the headlines for a hot minute.
In the discussion, yes, absolutely. And
Cher's tweets are infrastructure. That's what Kirsten had to say about it.
Don't know if you're much of a reader, but there's a new book coming out, The President's Daughter. It is written by James Patterson and Bill Clinton.
Oh, Lord.
They have teamed up.
Again?
Yes.
They already did this.
Hey, listen, if it works once, you got to do it. You got to do it again. You got to keep riding and riding that train.
I would be interested, though, to see, because James Patterson, I mean, his books are hugely successful. I know somebody who reads a lot of James Patterson books and makes a mistake of sometimes rebuying books he's already read, because you go to the supermarket, they have them available, and they all kind of look alike, and they all have similar plots. But there's no question James Patterson writes very suspenseful, good books. I would be interested to see if you took the book that Bill Clinton wrote with James Patterson and compared it to the sales of all of Hillary's books. I bet that their one-time book together has sold more than all of Hillary's combined.
Well, it's hard to tell which one is fiction at this point. But Hillary did tweet out she was very proud of Bill for writing this book with James Patterson. So yes, the president's daughter gets kidnapped, but they say it is not about Chelsea and it is not from personal experience.
Ugh. So, are people that desperate for reading?
You got a summer reading
list. Have you
gone
through everything that's the point you're at? Is that you're like, oh, Bill Clinton has a new book out. Don't buy that. Don't buy that. Read the Bible. Do something else. Pick up a copy of the Boston Herald, or maybe go to spectator.us and read some stories there. But don't buy this book. James Patterson doesn't need your money, and neither does the crime family's patriarch, Bill Clinton. Yuck. I do not like that. Guys, when we get back, I'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr, so don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. This is a beauty that I missed a few weeks back. Remember that Atlantic article where they talked about how Kamala Harris, you know, keeps a list of reporters that don't understand her? Well, I guess there was a nugget in there that someone just realized today. This Edward Isaac Dovier says, one of the things in this story from a few weeks back, Harris has quietly been doing media training in an attempt to have smoother interviews. Where does she go to get her money back? It is clearly not working. Joining me now for the car crossover, which is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Howie's actually going to hold it up for the camera right now. Allergy season is here, so you need the Thunderstorm. To get the lowest price for one unit, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE10 to save $10. Howie, what's going on? What are your thoughts? Kamala Harris has never been to Europe. Or she hasn't been to Europe recently, at least.
I don't understand. I mean, she was the attorney general of the largest state in the union. She was a U.S. senator. She was the district of attorney of one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country, San Francisco. and she doesn't know how to handle the press.
I think we're being a little generous calling Lester Holt the press. I mean, the press implies that these are some sort of, you know, tough interviews. These are softballs that she's already had six or seven swings at.
Lester Holt is the Ron Burgundy of the 21st century.
Yes. He's there to read the teleprompter.
Right. He's a little above Brian Williams. But that's
it's science.
Yeah, and that's only because
that's
of
like,
the fake
that's
story.
Like saying Joe Biden is a little above Hank Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't really mean a hell of a lot.
No, right. It's a tight competition. I'm amazed by this because even when they ask these questions that have been asked so many times, you think she'd be prepared. You can sense, and I want to play this cut one more time before I go here. You can sense he doesn't want to ask it, you know?
Well, this is the one question that she was going to be asked. Right. I mean, this is the only question that really means anything in an entire interview that she gives when she comes back from this trip that she should have made 6-7 weeks ago.
Let's play. Go ahead, Jared.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. This whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
I think Lester Holt is about to be added to the list of journalists who do not understand Kamala
Well,
you Harris.
Played the Three Dog Night Cut. I was born in Oklahoma. Oklahoma, not Arizona. Or maybe
well,
we should... Or maybe she's like King Tut. She's never been to Europe, but she was born in Babylonia and moved to Arizona.
Now, there's one more cut I want to get Howie's reaction on, because I know it's going to be priceless. Jared, can we play the expert from the New York Times, Mara Gay, talking about things that she finds very disturbing?
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
Explicatives. Thank goodness she didn't go to UNC. She went to the University of Michigan.
Well, you have,
that's one I don't have to answer for.
You have plenty of all-stars that went to UNC.
I do.
Don't
I do.
Sell
that's
yourself
I was saying,
short.
I was saying, God, please, God, tell me she didn't go to UNC.
But how you want
like
to
all the
best
rest
thing.
Of them in me.
So I went into Howie's office today and I said that this woman, Mara Gay, she was also the Bloomberg lady. She went on and told Brian Williams how if Bloomberg gave out his wealth, you know, everyone, whatever, fuzzy math. But the funny thing is she used that same word, disturbing, in that other cut too.
I find the fact that she has a bachelor's degree disturbing.
All right, guys. I'll be back tomorrow. Howie Carr's got a great show planned, so don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Explicative.